All right, for our summer series, we've been in Jacob talking about his life. We've been in the book of Genesis, so you can open it up. That's the easiest book of the Bible to find, so we're just going to make it easy for you all summer. Just one page in, and you're in the book of Genesis. And then we get all the stories about the beginning, all the patriarchs. So then we read about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now you're going to get introduced to that third person named Jacob. And it's all about trusting the story that God is writing in your life. So we just absolutely sang maybe the perfect song to set us up for Jacob. That we all understand we are a child of God. Why? Because of who God is and what he has done for us, and because I put my trust in him. Remember last week, in the midst of everything he messes up, God moves towards Jacob. And he makes this incredible promise. I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. I haven't left you, I haven't abandoned you, and I'm going to go with you, and this is going to be where you're going to live, and I'm going to bless you. Made all these incredible promises to Jacob. And it wasn't at Jacob's highest moment, was he, that God is making all these promises. It's when he's on the run, he's leaving because his brother wants to kill him. That's how well things went in that family. Okay, brother wanted to kill him, and so he is on the run. And Jacob is trying to understand, who am I? Who am I? Because he grew up in a family in which dad said, well, you're nothing. Esau is everything. So he's struggling with his own identity, struggling with who he is. He's struggling with, does God love me? Does God care about me? Does he have a plan and a purpose for me? And I'm telling you, so much of our life, if we can wrestle with those things and understand that God loves us, that he has a purpose for us and a plan for us, I am telling you, it's going to help so many other things in your life. It's going to be a domino effect to help in so many other areas. And Jacob is struggling with that. And we're going to see over the next couple of weeks that he's going to struggle greatly. And he's going to do some things that just because they're in the Bible doesn't mean you should do them. Okay, a couple of those things. But it's his whole struggle with identity and who do I trust and what do I do? And I want you to see that play out over the next few weeks. Last week was all about when we fall. Remember, he screws up, he goes in there, and he lies and deceives his way into getting the blessing. Esau's mad, so mad he's going to kill him, so he takes off. He's running for his life, meets Rachel, and he starts crying because he remembers the story of his parents, how the servant went and offered money and made sure to procure that whole engagement and that whole marriage to Rebekah. He does not have any of those things. And it's not because they weren't available to him. It's because of the way he went about getting the things that he thought he wanted the most. Isn't that funny? You and I so often, we just try to go about things, trying to get things we want it. God has a plan and a purpose in the middle of it, but gosh, I don't know if I can trust God. I got to do things my way. And so we take the reins and we try to make things happen and we end up making a mess. And God's there all along going, I want to help you. I love you. I care about you. I created you. I have a plan for you. Could you just trust me in what I am doing? And I know that is the hardest part of walking this life following Jesus, is trusting what he is doing in and through our lives. So we want to pick it up this week because Jacob meets his match. In other words, the trickster gets tricked. The guy who is going in there and he ultimately pulls this deception is going to get deceived himself. And he's going to decide, what on earth am I going to do? Because I just got what I've been handing out to my brother to get a hold of everything I want. So you can follow along. We'll be in Genesis chapter 29 today. These are verses we're going to kind of breeze through and talk about what does this look like. And again, we've been asking questions. I hope you continue to ask your own questions of this text. Why does that happen? Why does that take place? And then try to say, what can I learn from this? Otherwise, wow, these are some interesting stories about this guy named Jacob and what he does. But he's following God along this whole path. I think we just kind of miss that. So he messes up. He falls short. He tries to do it his way, but we're going to learn some things as we go through this. So here we go. Now Laban, now if you don't remember who Laban is actually Rebekah's brother, And so now, right, because Jacob's going to come to him and he's got nothing. He has nothing to offer but himself. So watch what happens here. Now, Laban had two daughters. The older one was named Leah and the younger one, Rachel. Leah's eyes were tender, but Rachel had a lovely figure and beautiful appearance. I have no idea what all that means, okay, when it comes to Leah, because everybody has their own opinion on it. Most commentators say the beautiful thing about Leah were her eyes, and that was it. And Rachel had the whole package. We'll just say it that way, okay, if that'll help you out, understanding the difference between these two. And Jacob's going to want one, not the other, and you're going to see what happens here because of it. Since Jacob had fallen in love with Rachel, right? He's gone well past logic and reason, and all the men in the room understand this, okay? He has gone well past logic and reason. He's about to do something pretty outlandish here, and you need to see what happens. So, since Jacob fell in love with Rachel, he said, I'll serve you 7 years in exchange for your younger daughter, Rachel. Okay, so now he's offering the only thing he has, and that's himself. 7 years. I mean, they don't sign a contract. There's no covenant here. There's just, we got a deal, right? 7 years. I served for you 7 years. I worked for you 7 years. You get 7 years of free labor. I just want Rachel. That's all I want. At the end of the day, in 7 years, that's what I want. So Laban replied, and I thought this was weird too. I'd rather give her to you than to another man. I don't know. What happened if you turned up near your father-in-law? Well, I guess you're as good as any, you know. I don't know. I'm looking at that going, gosh, is that good? Is that bad? And the whole thing, stay with me. Because Laban's thinking, oh, 7 years? Oh, I'm going to get everything I can out of you, okay? You're going to be building all sorts of stuff, okay? I'm going to make you work 12-hour days for 7 years. I'm going to get everything I can out of you. And that's what he wants. Just, what can I get out of this Jacob? Because, and you got to kind of flip back in the story. In Genesis 24, when Abraham's servant comes, Laban's not doing negotiation, okay? He's watching the negotiations being done because this man has all the wealth, he has all the leverage, and he goes, this is what I came to offer. And Laban's like, man, that's a rich family. I got to get what I can. So I need you to understand the motives of Laban. He does not care as much for Jacob as he cares for Jacob's money. And since he doesn't have money, it's I'm going to get everything I can out of you. And you see, he's meeting somebody who does not care about him, just what he can get out of him. And I think this is really important that Jacob understands what it feels like for what he's been doing. What has he been doing? I don't care about you, Esau. I care about your birthright. So how do I swindle that out of you? I don't care about you, Esau. I care about your blessing. That's the way he's operated. And now he's running to somebody who operates just like he does. So Jacob worked for 7 years to acquire Rachel. But they seemed like only a few days to him because his love for her was so great. Right, this is the beautiful scene of the movie, right? The beautiful music playing in the background. Oh, he loved her so much. Okay, at 7 years, this felt like a few days. Oh, isn't that lovely? Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, and then the music takes the dun-dun-dun, okay? And then this takes a turn because it's not going to go that well because Laban's about getting whatever he can. So he's going to trick. So finally, Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife for my time of service is up, and I want to sleep with her. 7 years is a long time, okay? 7 years is a really long time, okay? So all the married couple in the room, I don't know how long you were engaged. 7 years? No way. No way. No way. It's just too hard, isn't it? It's way too hard. Like 7 months, maybe, okay? That's just the way it is. And so he's like, 7 years. 7 years. So Laban invited all the people that place. And prepared a feast because this is what they would do. They would celebrate together when there was a marriage taking place. So they have a huge feast. In the evening, he brought his daughter, Leah. Uh-oh. He's going to do something in the cover of darkness to Jacob. And he slept with her. And Laban also gave, now this is going to be important for where we're going to be in 2 weeks. Like, why do I care about a servant? Well, 2 weeks, okay, and you'll find out that the servant's going to be involved in everything as well. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant. In the morning, Jacob discovered, wrong sister, okay? Wrong sister. It was Leah, okay? Now watch what he says. So Jacob said to Laban, what in the world have you done to me? Didn't I work for you in exchange for Rachel? Wait a minute. Did we miss this whole thing? Did we have this deal wrong? Okay? Didn't I work for you, for Rachel? Why have you tricked me? Do you know what this really is in the original language? Jacob's asking, why did you Jacob me? That's what he's really asking. Because it's his name. His whole name is about deceit and tricking and tripping. And he's almost asking, why did you Jacob me? I'm Jacob. I Jacob people, okay? I deceive people. I trick people. I work to get what I want. Why have you done this to me? It's not our custom here, Laban replied, to give the younger daughter in marriage for the firstborn, which leads to a great question. You had 7 years to tell me that, right? Right? Couldn't that come up in a conversation? Oh, hey, 3.5 years in, maybe, I don't know, 4 years in. The night before, he could have said, oh, by the way, you can't have her. Instead, Laban, what? No. I got to deceive. I got to trick. I got to get my way out of it. Complete my older daughter's bridal week. Then we will give you the younger one too. This is a comma because he's going to ask for something. In exchange for 7 more years of work. Because now he's going to get double the work out of Jacob. So that's an interesting passage, right? You're like, that's in the Bible? Yes. Now just because it's in the Bible and he actually marries two women doesn't mean you should go out and do that, okay? Just because that's in there. Because Jacob's just doing what Jacob wants to do. And we're gonna ask questions about that today. Here we go. Why does Jacob have to work for Rachel? Simple. Because of the way he had to leave. His deceit cost him. This is just the way it's sin. It is with sin. You have to know how much God loves us. He's just like, I have no idea what that's going to do to you. Jacob, you're going to go in there and you're going to deceive your way. That's wonderful. But do you have any idea what that's going to do? When you come down the road and meet your future wife, all the ramifications of you leaving the way you did and cheating people out, do you understand? That's going to have some consequences. This is what God is doing for us as a loving Heavenly Father. He is so wanting to protect us. He's so wanting to walk with us and protect us from so many things that can bring us harm, from so much pain, from Jacob being tricked. He's trying to keep us from so many things. And yet most of the time we just think, Genesis 3, what Eve thought. Oh, God's just keeping something good for me. God's just trying to keep me out of stuff. God's not giving me what is best. And if you've thought that, come on, we all have. I am telling you, that's just a lie of the enemy to get us to think that God does not have our best interests in mind. He does. This is where trusting the story is so important. I'm going to believe that God loves me and God wants what's best for me. And that in trusting the story, God is going to do what is best for me. But if I get out ahead of him and I do things my own way and I work in the deceit, whatever I do to get what I want, I can just guarantee there are going to be some unintended consequences with this. Which is why Jacob shows up and sees Rachel and cries, oh, what have I done? What do you think he felt like after 14 years? 14 years, ultimately, after being tricked and swindled and moved around because of what he has done. Why does Laban not deal honestly with Jacob? Because why don't you just tell him some things? Why don't you just say, sorry, can't do that. No, I'm going to get 7 years out of you and then tell you no and then trick you and then get 7 more years out of you. Because Laban has the same problem. He loves what that family has. He wants their blessing. He wants the things that they have. So any way he can try to get that for himself, he is going to get that. That's what I mean. Jacob's run into somebody who's just further down the line of how do I trick and swindle to get my own way than Jacob is. That's all he's meeting. He's meeting like his future self if he keeps going down the track he's going down. That's what he's meeting. And sometimes God is so good to allow us to have those encounters. None of us like them. Probably we've all gotten mad at God for those encounters. We've encountered people who've treated us like we've treated others. And we're like, oh, we don't like that. We don't like that. But instead of understanding what God's trying to do, we just get mad at him. God, I thought you loved me. How could you do this to me? And maybe Jacob had those conversations too. But he's run into somebody who's just lived his life by, I'm going to get what I get from other people. I don't care if it's not right. I don't care if it's not treating them justly. And Jacob's just meeting somebody who's a little bit further down the line than he is on living that type of life, which God asks us, don't do that. Trust the story. Treat people with respect. Be good. Follow what I've set up in my word to help you live, walk with me. Notice what doesn't happen in here as well. Where's Jacob asking God? God, is this a good idea? Nope. How many years? 7. Give me a pen. I'm signing on the line, okay? There's no prayer. There's no asking God. It's just, no, I want her, and so what do I have to do to get her? And then there's this. How does it feel to have done to you what you did to others? I imagine nobody in the room, if you were to come up and share your story, you'd want to, because it's just, What happens when you lie to get what you want, only have somebody lie to you, and you feel so betrayed and so ruined by what has happened, to have a relationship just fall apart, and then to realize, that's what I've done. It doesn't feel good. It's not a good experience. And so often God allows us to experience those things, and we'll get to that in a moment, because he has something better for us. And he just allows it. God doesn't make it happen. God didn't send him to Laban and say, Jacob, that's it. I'm going to strike you on this one. Nope. But this is what happens in life. And there's no prayer. There's no asking God. There's no seeking God. And let me tell you, in the part we pick up in 2 weeks, this doesn't become a part of Jacob's life for a while. The seeking God, the asking God, and that leads to a lot of chaos and a lot of pain in his family because nobody's providing leadership. Nobody is. Nobody's asking God for directions. Nobody's asking God, what should we do? Nobody's walking with God and saying, help me understand how to live. Which, can I just ask you, how is that going for you? Are you walking with God? This is not just, I read this to figure out, how do I get what I want? And once I figure out the Bible code, okay, to get what I want, I'm going to do that and get what I want. That's not walking with God, just so we understand that, okay? That's just a form of, God put all these rules in effect, and I just need to figure out his rules and his systems and his code and pull the little levers in the right way and get what I want. That is not the way to read Scripture. That isn't the way we approach God. We approach God because he loves us and cares for us, and sometimes he gives us examples and says, don't live like this. You don't have to go that path. I know you've probably gone that path before. You don't have to go that path. And to invite us to walk with him and to say, see, it doesn't matter. You're flawed, you're fallen, you're broken. I love you. I created you. I made you. Let me work in your life. Why does Jacob marry Rachel after Leah? Now, I know what the answer that most of us would give. Because he loved her. And love triumphs everything. And love is the excuse to do anything you want, right? That's our own culture. We just define love the way we want to define it and say that's the way it goes. And Jacob already did that. Yeah, but I love her. It's okay. Really? You're supposed to have two wives, Jacob? I don't know. Well, was that in the family you grew up in? Did your dad have more than one wife? Was that the way it was done? Right? So why does he do it? It could be because he loved her. Because I got tricked. I got tricked. I got deceived. Therefore, I have the right to. Now, can I tell you the only difference between this story and our culture? Divorce. Because in our culture, we'd have nulled it, we'd have divorced it, we'd have done something with it, right? And whatever the fallout is, so what? That's what happens. And it's a real thing. Now, hear me. You mean God hates everybody? No. You mean God hates everybody gets a divorce? No. I'm just saying this would look different in our culture. This would look different in our culture. Marriage is difficult. You've heard me say this before. And you need to walk with God to do it. And sometimes, and quite often, sin comes into marriage, and it's what breaks it. It is what destroys it. It happens. And we have to be people who love one another and take care of one another through those situations. It's very easy to read this story and go, that's stupid Jacob. I can't believe he did what he did. I'd never do that. Oh, I'd be really careful. No, would you have two wives? Probably not. But we would do the same thing if we're trying to get what we want instead of what God desires for us to do. It's the reality that we have to understand what it's like living in our world, helping one another, taking care of one another. Listen, I have too many friends who have nothing to do with the church. Do you know why? Well, I could tell the one story about my friend that we went to high school together, and I didn't even know this. I didn't know this for years until his older brother told me. See, his parents got a divorce when he was, I'm going to guess, 8, and that I'm hoping I'm right with that, okay? So they get a divorce, okay? At 8 years old, how much control you have over your parents' divorce? 0, okay? However, he watched his own mother get treated differently in their church because of it. Is he in church today? No. Does he have anything to do with God today? No. That had a real impact on him. That had a huge impact on him. All because the people of God couldn't act like God would act. Is that how God acts? Nope. Nope, it's not. It's not. There is no care, there is no loving, and that never should have happened. But it does. And that's what we got to learn. How do we care for people? How do we help one another? How do we pray for one another and are there for one another? Because that was the easy part. Let's just make a statement and let's cross our arms and how dare you and how could you and not be loving. And what they probably never thought, it would have an impact on an 8-year-old to be done with the faith. See, that's what nobody ever thought in that moment. Everybody thought, well, I'm righteous. Everybody thought, I'm doing what the Bible says to do. Really? I don't know about that. I'm telling you that these stories happen, and how do we help one another and care for one another instead of sitting there and going, I'd never do that. That's where Jesus goes after the Pharisees for the way they act. And he goes, see, this is what you guys think. Oh, if I was there, we wouldn't have done it. No, you'd have done worse. That's what he basically tells them. Guys, you'd have done worse. Just know that. And ask the question, how am I helping other people? Am I encouraging them? Am I praying for them? And am I helping them in any way I can? Okay, lots on that. Some applications, some things I want to leave you with. The current situation of Jacob is a result of his actions. I need you to understand that. There are consequences. For everybody in the room, consequences do not mean God doesn't love you anymore. I would say that 100 times if I could get through to people. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean because Jacob walked in that situation, I'll say God doesn't love him. No. No, God already came to Jacob and said, I'm your God, I'm with you, I'm going with you before any of this happens. And maybe so he would know that. But maybe he thought the same thing. So many people think the consequences I face for my sin are somehow connected to God loving me. No. They're just the result of what happens when I live outside of what God has invited me to live, walking with Him. That's what they are. They're painful. They're awful. We don't sit there and we point each other and say, ha, you're getting what you deserve. Nope. Nope. We help one another through those things. That's a result of His actions. Probably all of us in here, everybody in here, everybody watching online, you've all done this where you've seen the result of your actions, and perhaps you're mad and you're upset because it's costing you. Yeah, it does. That's what it does. That's what sin does. It always costs us more than we think it will. It's always a bad deal. It's always a bad deal. Okay? Because you sign on the line thinking, oh, this isn't too bad, and the price goes way, way up by the time it's over. Because that's the way sin is. It always takes more than you think it's going to take. For our good, and I've worded this really carefully, God often allows us to experience what we have done to others. The big word for this in the New Testament is the word sanctification. In other words, God is trying to make us more like His Son, Jesus. And so we experience all sorts of different things in our lives. They're not because God makes them happen to us, okay? But God certainly does allow them. Because God could step in, He could stop things. He doesn't. You know why? He's God. I don't want that job. You shouldn't want that job either. He's God. And so for our good, He often allows us to experience those things. For our good, for our sanctification. Do you think Jacob was much of a trickster after this? Well, if you've read much of Genesis, you're right. You already know that. You think this had an impact on him? Yeah. You think God was able to say, see, this is why we don't treat people like this? This is why we don't try to see what we can get from people instead of what we want for people? Yeah. Perhaps he knows that now. But that's constantly what God is trying to do if we would allow him to. Help us to be more and more like Jesus. And so sometimes it's working out some rough areas in our life. And sometimes we go through pain and hardship and difficulties, and God uses all of that. Doesn't make it all happen to us. Because this is what they thought in the first century too. Oh, the rich people are the people that God loves the most because they have the most stuff, right? Simple, okay? The sick people are the people that God hates the most because they're sick. They're suffering. And Jesus shows up and goes, guys, none of that is true, okay? None of it's true. That is not how any of this works. And show does, nope, all those assumptions are wrong. Follow me. Come with me. Walk with me. Watch what I have in store for you. Are we really, and I actually use this as a question, are we really surrendered to live our lives God's way? Are we really? Jacob was to the moment, no, I'm not going to be stuck with Rachel. I'm not going to be stuck with Leah. I want Rachel too. Okay? And we're going to see in a couple weeks, oh my goodness. Okay? And it just gets out of control. And so much of this is there's no leadership. There's no surrender to the way of God. I understand. It's 2022. Good. Not much in here looks like the world, if you haven't been watching lately. Just in case you're asleep somewhere under a rock, okay? There's not much of this that looks like the world. There's not much of this that's popular culture, okay? You didn't sit down and watch a movie recently and go, oh, yeah, wow, here's a couple people actually doing what Scripture talks about. Doesn't happen, okay? I understand this. So that means we get pressed on all sides to do it differently. We get pressed on all sides to live differently, to do it differently, to do it like everybody else is doing it. And we have to make a decision. Am I really surrendered to doing it God's way? Or am I not? Or am I just going to do it my way and do what I want, do like everybody else is doing because that's the way it goes? That is a huge question. That will change incredibly the trajectory of your life. whether you decide you're going to surrender to live our lives God's way. I will tell you what, a lot of the people you admire, and you're like, wow, look where they are. Look what they're doing, okay? Outside of who you see on Instagram, forget all that for a moment. There are so many people, and this is true for people I watch. They've surrendered to this word. They follow this word. And those are the lives you're like, yeah, I want to be, I'd like to see a life like that. They've just surrendered themselves. And yeah, does their life look different? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're celebrating things that other people aren't celebrating. They're seeing things happen that other people aren't seeing happen because they've just surrendered their life to doing it God's way. Are you willing to do that? Surrender your life to doing it God's way and trusting the story that He is writing. All right, that's a lot today. So let's pray together. We're going to sing one more time together. And we're just going to ask God to help us to put all this. And I'm just asking you, even today, where you're at, surrender your life to God, to do life His way, and watch the difference that makes. Heavenly Father, I know it's hard. It's really, really hard. It's really, really hard to live in a broken, fallen world where everything we watch has a different way of doing things than you do. And it's hard. Father, please make sure people understand my words. I am not mean this to be simplistic or easy. But it truly is the best way to walk with you. Surrendered in this life. To do things your way. And that's challenging. Because doing things your way is just not what's in our Instagram feed. It's not what's on TikTok. It's not what we see all the time. It's not what we're inundated with. It's not shown in popular culture, music, TV, movies. It's hard. Because we just make assumptions that no one else is doing it that way. We make the Elijah assumption when he thought everybody just serves Baal, and God says no, they don't. We think everybody does it the world's way, and it's a lie. Help us to surrender to doing life the way you have designed for us to live. Walking with you, in relationship with you, we have a great plan and purpose for our lives. Father, as we end this morning, we want to stand in your love. Your love for us, your care for us, that helps us to go out and surrender to living life your way. We ask you to work and move in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you'd stand this morning, our prayer team's going to be right over on this side of the church. Go see them for prayer and